We're beginning a new theme today called Keep the Change. And today's lesson is going to be a new creation. The theme about keeping the change is not referring to money. It's not referring to money, though I'm sure a lot of you would like to keep the change. Matter of fact, you'd like for there not to be any need for change, just to get everything for free. But the idea here is about keeping the changes that we make and making them consistent, lifelong changes. We're talking about transformation. This morning's text can be found on page 1799 of our Pew Bibles. I'm going to begin reading in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So if you'd like to open there. Now Paul starts with the word therefore, and as I usually emphasize, it's important to know what he's been saying prior to this. He's been asserting over and over again that the Lord has made us to live in glory with him now and forever. And he writes then this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, according to verse 17 there, if we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, something has already changed. The change is remarkable, even incredible, and without a doubt phenomenal. We have been created anew. He doesn't make any bones about it. It's quite clear. If we're in Christ, we are a new creation. Not we're going to become a new creation. Not one day we will be a new creation. We are already a new creation. We have been created anew. But according to verse 21, there is still a process of becoming. Because he says we're to become, that we might become the righteousness of God. So we are new creations, but a new creation beginning a new process. Nearly everyone that I've been privileged to interview on this subject in my years in ministry has told me that they felt something special when it happened to them, when they were made new. Some experienced a warm glow or a surge of power. Others felt a refreshing as if they were being immersed in the purest of streams. Most praise God aloud. A few have talked to spoke in tongues. Yet extremes have ranged from shouts of joy to really silent reflection. In each case, there was this sense of God's love and the Spirit's acceptance as they recognized and realized and accepted this newness that God had granted to them in Christ. However, the overwhelming majority of people that I've talked to over the years report that their feelings were fleeting. Before much time passed, well, could have been just a few hours, maybe a few months. But most believers said that the newness wore off. The new creation for them soon wilted. Context that we read there would certainly confirm that this is not the way it's supposed to be. See, God's intention is for us to become genuinely new and then genuine imitators of Jesus. As we exchange, you think about the word change, exchange our sin for his righteousness. So why isn't that always the case? Why is it that so many feel so short-term in their new creation experience. Well, I believe the problem often stems from faulty perceptions and expectations. And we really can't adequately address this subject without some careful consideration of Romans 12, the first couple of verses. Now, this is a go-to passage for me. I've got to tell you, it is one of my favorites in the Scripture, because it is so relevant to me personally, and I believe it should be relevant to you. As Paul explains to us something about this transformation, about this becoming, he says in Romans 12, first couple of verses again, "I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then," he says, "you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Notice that. Being transformed. Renewing. The word that the Apostle Paul used for transformation or being transformed, this text, is the word metamorphosis. We've addressed this before. The most common illustration of this, I believe, is that of that caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Now, you don't have to be an entomologist to know that this is not a singular event, this metamorphosis, this transformation. It's not something that happens all at once. It is a process, a process. It's not immediate. Though there's immediate change, there's just change into a transition, a phase of transformation. We've been trained, I believe, to think about this metamorphosis for the caterpillar as beginning with the caterpillar. Guess what? It doesn't. It doesn't. The process starts much earlier with conception. And after conception, there's an egg. And after the egg, there's the larva, the caterpillar. These are necessary initial steps in the transition. Without there being first the conception and the egg, there'd never be a larva. There'd never be a caterpillar to be transformed yet more. Would never happen. And that reminds me that Jesus spoke of being born again in John chapter 3, verse 5. Remember when he was speaking to Nicodemus and he said that no one would ever see God unless they were born again? That was necessary, that one had to be born of spirit, not just flesh? When we're convicted by the Holy Spirit to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it's the onset of spiritual transformation. New life is conceived within us. See, and we become a new creation. As John chapter 1, 12 through 13 also says, those of us who receive Christ are granted the right to become children of God. Not of natural descent or human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Yet, though we're new and we're pure, we're not mature. I don't want to, in any fashion, appear to be belittling the work of God in any stage of our growth, physical or spiritual. But the initial stages of our metamorphosis are completely by grace through faith. As in the physical realm, we are passive participants. We're incapable of nurturing and feeding ourselves. We're totally dependent upon someone again doing what it takes for us to have life and to grow. It's not about our decision. It's not about what we do, physically or spiritually. It's not. It's all God. See, but eventually, he calls for us to participate in the process. Eventually he does. to respond and take some responsibility for our development. Isn't that true in the natural? Isn't it? In the natural, in the physical realm, if we don't take some responsibility, take some acts ourselves, begin again to mature and take some action for that maturing to take place and continue, it'll be stunted. It'll be halted. Did you know that the caterpillar sheds its skin 3 to 4 times before it spins the cocoon, that chrysalis or pupa, in which it's going to develop, in which it will undergo the final transformation? If you're not adverse to doing this, go on YouTube and just start looking for some YouTube videos, that will show you about the transformation process from caterpillar to butterfly. The shedding of the skin is not an easy process. The caterpillar struggles to get free of this outer shell, to be made new, to be renewed. And again, it's not just once. It's several times that this has to be done. Each phase is a struggle. And absolutely, hear me, absolutely essential to the process. Growth is stunted without struggle. We're going to talk more about shedding our skin next week. We're going to look at a passage in Ephesians 4 that gives some indication that in the spiritual realm, we need to shed our skin. We need to be rid of our flesh. We need to do that. So we'll talk about that. We'll examine that idea further. But for the moment, just imagine a caterpillar that not only did not shed its outer skin, but never spun a cocoon. It would never become what God intended for it to become. Never. So similarly, if we welcome forgiveness, but resist, even personal refuse to be involved in transformation, though we may be a new creation, we will not develop. We will not become who God wants us to become. But Paul says the place for our transformation is not a cocoon. In Romans 12, he says it's the mind. The mind. We're going to spend our third lesson in this series on that concept, on the idea of the need for us to enter that spiritual cocoon if we're really going to develop and become who God wants us to be. And in our final lesson on January 22nd, we're going to consider the final phase in our metamorphosis, in which we spread our wings and fly. Did you know where to do that? Spiritually speaking, where to do that? And I'm not just talking about that final last phase where we get new bodies and we fly up. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'm talking about spreading our wings and flying in the now. In the now. For now, though, I'm going to ask you to do a little personal spiritual inventory. Where are you in the process of transformation? Where would you say you are? Have you been born again? Have you been conceived by the Holy Spirit? Have you? Do you even want to be? Maybe you haven't, but you have had no desire to be. Or maybe that has happened for you. But do you want to change even more? And to acknowledge that the kind of change that you want is impossible without God. See, so much of the time, we're trying to change ourselves without His help. Yes, He wants us to be involved in the process, but the initial change cannot happen at all without Him taking over entirely. And the rest of the transformation cannot happen without a surrendering to Him, to let Him work in us and through us and with us in the process. It cannot happen. Have you perhaps accepted Jesus as your Savior, but not as your Lord? I mean, have you longed for change, but you've resisted the Spirit's leading that's necessary for it to happen? Are you stuck somewhere in the process? Tired of struggling because you aren't seeing instantaneous change? I've seen that with so many people. Where, you know what, they're expecting when they're first born again, they're expecting again to be transformed completely and totally like that. And then when it doesn't happen like that, they become discouraged and disenchanted. And then they try on their own and they struggle without God to try to make it happen. And they fail miserably. Or even with God, they struggle, but they feel like the struggle isn't worth what the finished product will be. Yeah, and they crumple up their resolutions and they give up. And they just quit. Can any of you relate to that? Spiritually speaking, I will tell you, and I confess, that when I first accepted Jesus as my Savior, I did expect a more immediate and complete transformation than I experienced. And for a while, I really just thought, well, I just need to work harder, try harder, through my own human effort, to be who God wanted me to be. Now, as I said, there's time where God's going to ask us to be involved and respond to the process. There are things He's asking us to do and to submit to and surrender to. That whole idea of offering ourselves as living sacrifices. But it's nothing that we can do on our own. And it took me a long time to figure that out. And before I really figured it out, I gave up. For a period of time, I just gave up. It took God convicting me again through His Spirit and through His Word. Listen, son, I've made you new, but I'm not done with you. Come back. Come back to me. We've got work to do. I'm going to work on you and in you and through you. Are you just hanging around, though? I thought it was interesting, again, the videos, the images, again, of the caterpillar hanging upside down while it's trying to free itself from its skin, and upside down when it spins the cocoon, just hanging around, but it's not hanging around doing nothing. I think there's a lot of believers who just hang around, expecting that the transformation is going to happen without their cooperation. And it's not that God can't do it, it's that He chooses not to. He chooses to work with us in the process and calls for us to respond to Him to get that done. If any of these phases describes where you're at, I want to invite you to pray. To pray. To pray to God. Honestly, openly. I mean, He already knows what's on your heart. But so many times we lack because we don't ask. That's what James tells us in his writings. We have not because we ask not. So ask. Pray. You might think, well, I've asked before. I've asked God's help before in this. And again, I didn't see instantaneous change. So I quit. So I gave up. Wrong way to pray. Wrong way to pray. Understand, Paul has told us that the process involves us surrendering, and through this ongoing renewing and transformation and becoming. It's not a one-time thing. It's not an overnight thing. It's a process. Do you want God to save you? I mean, really, truly want God to save you? Do you want him to change you, to transform you? Do you want to be different? A lot of people I talk to tell me they do want to be different, but really what they want is they want things to be different. They want circumstances to be different. They want life to be easier. Or they want that magic pill that you take that melts the pounds away and grows the hair back and removes all the wrinkles, makes them smarter. Find that pill, see me after services. I think we'd go into business. No, I'm teasing you. There is no magic pill. There isn't. But there's a miracle-working God who, if you'll surrender to him, if you haven't already, he will make you a new creation and he will begin a process in you that will be amazing. It's a shame in one sense that we don't have some time-lapse photography where we could show people how far we've come, to show people our spiritual transformation. Now, if that was possible, how would your film look? Again, where would you be in the process? Where would you be? What we do have is testimony. Testimony. To be able to tell people who I was before Christ and who I am today. How he has worked in me and through me in my life and has changed me and is in the process of still changing me. But that testimony, if it's just from our lips, without a visual, without people being able to see the transformation, is not only taken place, it is taking place. It's in process. No time lapse. There's now. Testify, confess, pray. Yes, and surrender to change. To change. Be the testimony. Be the one who demonstrates the reality of it all. Let's pray. Father God, I confess to you today my sin, my resistance, and sometimes my rebellion. I do want to be who you want me to be, and I know that's more like you than I am. I want to be like Jesus. I really do. And God, so I acknowledge that although I've got a long way to go, I believe that you'll go with me every step of the way. So God, help me through this phase to the next. And Father, I pray that that is the prayer as well of every born-again believer here today. May it be so. We trust you. We surrender to you. Thank you, God, for saving us and not giving up on us. Even though we give up, you don't. You keep calling us back to your Son. And you're always ready and willing to pick up where we left off. Thank you for that. Father, if there's anyone here who life is so out of control and their life is not what they want it to be, and they recognize that and realize that, God, I pray that something in what we've shared today might make them at least realize and hope for the change you can bring about in them. In Christ. Not apart from him, but in him. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.